Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Join us today on Advanced for a whole new perspective on online learning. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. Today is February 21st, and we're beginning our education article for this month. My name is Naomi, and I'm glad that you've joined us today. We're on page 34, so go ahead and open up your magazines as we talk about a certain corporation that is helping online education become something quite different from what it's been in the recent years, where it has sort of taken off on the internet. So joining me to discuss this topic, first of all, is Bill. Welcome.
Hi, Naomi, and hello, listeners. Glad to be here for this three-day article, Naomi. Very interesting topic.
It is an interesting topic. Now, we have done a lot about online learning before, so why should people stay tuned today?
Well, because it is constantly changing. And what online class or course you may have had a year ago or 2 years ago, the whole structure, the whole platform is all changing now. So, and there's reasons for it, and there's reasons that you need to know about it because it might be a better fit for you.
Right. We've talked about online learning before as basically just being long-distance learning. Mm-hmm. The only difference being instead of having to, you know, mail things in an envelope, now you can use email and forums and so on. But this is a bit different.
Not all online classes are the same.
Mm.
So you must research it before you actually, you know, sign up for them. Certainly, if you have to pay for them, make sure that you research them. So it pays to do that.
Yeah, that's an important point. Also joining us today is Amanda.
Hi, listeners. Yeah, I find this very interesting. You know, I've continued to look at what online options to take in education, so I'm looking forward to hearing more about this one.
Okay, have you ever tried to learn about anything online?
I have, but not where there is any certification involved.
Okay, yeah. But there are a lot of places online where we can learn different skills or even just learn how to do certain things, right?
Right. One of my favorite places is TED, TED, mm-hmm. You know, for learning a lot of new innovative things that are happening around the world. But of course, you don't get anything at the end of that.
That's true.
Now, I have the reverse angle on this, Naomi, because I actually did teach online classes here for Studio Classroom. I did teach some online classes, maybe 3-4 years mm-hmm. ago. That has challenges in it. And
sure.
I was teaching classes, groups of 10 or 15 people. And my biggest challenge was keeping everybody involved and active.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's difficult even in a physical classroom.
Right, right. And then here I was trying to do it. I didn't have a physical classroom. I had a computer screen I was looking at. And I had names and things. And I had to keep rotating through the different names to make sure that everybody was still alive. Mm-hmm. Because there were some people, a lot of people were like not participating. I always had 2 or 3 people very active. And then there
right.
would be like 10 people not contributing. So I had to keep stirring everybody up. Yeah.
Okay. So there's a lot of different sides to it. I also sometimes just think, well, of course I can learn how to do things online. Maybe someone posted some video about how to do this. And, you know, even things like making a recipe, you know, cooking something. Of course you can learn things online. But as far as taking, you know, some kind of actual education or certification, I think most of us are a little more reluctant to sign up for something like that.
Right. There's a lot more involved normally, too, the amount of hours you would need to put into that. Of course, if you're working as well, you have to think about that. So,
Okay.
I think what we're talking about here is, and this has been a topic for a few years, is the migration, the eventual migration from the brick-and-mortar school, the traditional university, to where people are getting degrees, where a large number of people are getting degrees online, bachelor's and master's and even higher degrees. So this is all in the formulation stage right now. We haven't quite figured it out. We're not there, but I could see it eventually being the case.
Okay. Well, today we are talking about a certain corporation that is at the forefront of online education and, as you're saying, Bill, the new ways that that's happening today. So please join us for our first reading on page 34.
the Coursera Effect. This recently launched corporation has helped online education take a giant leap forward. Christos Porios, 16, lives in Alexandropolis, a small Greek city on the Aegean Sea, about 20 miles from Greece's eastern border with Turkey. My mother's a teacher and my father's a mechanic, he explains, adding that neither is particularly knowledgeable about computers, especially compared with him. For years, he's had free rein over the family PC, and he's taken advantage of the time to teach himself programming. Last fall, as the Greek economy spiraled toward default and rioters filled the streets of Athens, Porios was glued to his computer, but not to follow the Eurozone crisis. He was taking a free class in machine learning offered by Andrew Ng, a professor at Stanford University, over an online platform Ng developed with his colleagues. Machine learning is an emerging discipline of computer science that deals with the analysis of very large data sets. Drawing on what he learned, Porios was able to participate in the International Space Apps Challenge, a virtual hackathon using data from NASA and other government agencies. He also began to play with data sets he downloaded from the World Bank website.
Okay, friends, so here we are on page 34, reading about the Coursera effect. And before you get confused, let's explain that first. What is Coursera?
Well, Coursera is the name of the company that we're talking about that offers these online classes. Coursera is just their name.
Okay, and so you need to know that because it doesn't come up right away in our article. So this is a recently launched corporation, and it has done what?
It has helped online education take a giant leap forward. In other words, a huge advancement in what's happening online.
Okay, good. So as we begin, we take a very specific example to show what the effects of learning online can be.
Yeah, we head to Greece and we meet a young man, Christos Porios, 16. He lives in Alexandropolis, a small Greek city on the Aegean Sea. This is sounding like lovely. About 20
yes.
miles from Greece's eastern border with Turkey.
You know, the Aegean Sea is beautiful.
Yeah, I know. I'm just picturing these mountainous islands with the white homes and the blue sky and the crystal
yeah.
clear sea. And I'm thinking, kind of wish I was Christos there. But so this young man, here he is. Okay, we're painting a picture. He is just like he's out away from everything. That's the picture we're painting.
Right. And probably when we think of this sort of small Greek city on the sea, we think of markets and we think of people walking to work and
fishermen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sort of a more maybe rural lifestyle, not mm-hmm. so connected to the modern world.
Right. Yeah. We would think not connected to the modern world. And we get a little bit of background there in the next sentence where Christos describes his family.
Right. His mother is a teacher and his father a mechanic. So again, not really related to anything to do with computers.
Okay. So a mechanic, probably when we just say mechanic, we usually mean the kind that works on cars, fixes cars and maybe scooters and so on. And so he's explaining that and he's also saying something else about his parents.
Just kind of like what I just said, that neither is particularly knowledgeable about computers. So they don't know anything about them. He says, especially compared to him.
Okay, so they are so focused on their work that they are not really, well, they sort of go back to this idea that we had of this small town, that it is more backward maybe.
Right.
Okay, but compared with him. So now we're seeing that he's a little bit different.
Yeah, because for years, he's had free rein over the family PC. And when you have free rein over something, that means you have control of it, and you also, you know, have total freedom on where you go. Just picture riding a horse. You have free rein over a horse, and you can just go up in the mountains, go galloping over the plains. You can go anywhere you want because you control the reins of the horse.
That's right. A lot of freedom,
mm-hmm.
right? You can do anything you want with it.
Okay, so he can do anything he wants with the family PC, and he has taken advantage of that time to become a world-class gamer.
Well, fortunately, he has not. He has taken that time to do something even more productive and constructive, teach himself programming.
Right, which really surprised me because most of the 16-year-olds that I know with access to a computer would not have headed in this direction.
That's right. Maybe he knows how to make the games because he's learned how to program, right? So he's actually a step ahead. He's not just playing the games. Maybe he's making them, you know, learning how to program. And it's like learning another language.
Right. So he decided when he had all this free time not to be lazy and just enjoy himself. He said, how am I going to learn something here? And he did teach himself programming.
I would have to say that probably comes from his parents, though, too. Probably they probably laid a good foundation with him. Maybe the dad's a hardworking mechanic, mom's a teacher. So, you know, they probably gave him some good lessons.
That's a great point. It sounds like he was raised well to be so industrious with the resources that he had. It's interesting because a lot of people in that kind of situation would say, well, here I am stuck in this little town with only a computer. Oh, well. But he said, well, I have this computer and I have some time. What can I do? You know? And so last fall, we continue in the next paragraph, something was happening in this country.
Yeah, we see that the Greek economy was spiraling towards default and rioters filled the streets of Athens. So we're learning a little bit what happened to Greece last year.
Okay.
Yeah, well, default is when you can't pay your bills, and certainly in this case you can't pay loans. The Greek government was running out of money, and so they kept getting emergency loans from the Eurozone, and they kept spending more money. And when you reach a point where you can't pay anymore, you can't get anymore, that's default, and you go bankrupt.
Right. And we did talk about this in advance. I'm sure you saw it on the news as well. But that economy was spiraling toward that bankruptcy that you just mentioned, Bill. So in other words, it's if you think of a spiral as sort of this going around and around and downwards at the same time, that's what can happen in this kind of situation. It's just getting worse and worse. And so, of course, that also meant that the people were not happy.
That's right. And so they filled the streets of Athens. Now, Athens is the capital city of Greece. And so these people were very unhappy about the situation, so much so, or even the fact that they were going bankrupt, that they decided to hold riots and go into the street to protest.
Right. It's kind of funny that you said hold riots because it makes it sound a little more civilized than it probably was.
True.
Oh, we're going to have a riot at 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Yeah. But yeah, a riot tends to sort of happen more so than being planned. Probably the demonstration might be planned. And so they sort of were saying, we're not happy with this, but then it would turn into these quite violent outbreaks.
And normally when something like that happens, people will go on the internet to watch for news, check out stories. Well, Christos Porios, he was glued to his computer. And glued to means that he wasn't moving away for hours. When we're glued to something, we might be glued to the TV set, watching a movie. We don't want to move away. So here he was, glued to the computer. Was he watching the riots?
No. So he wasn't watching the riots. He wasn't just playing video games. So what was he doing?
He was taking a free class in machine learning offered by Andrew Ng.
Okay. And who is Andrew Ng?
He is a professor at Stanford University. So the professor is there in the Bay Area. In Silicon Valley, in California, conducting this online class. Christos Porios is all the way in Greece, being constructive with his time, watching this class taught by this Stanford University professor.
Right, and the professor is actually teaching the class over this online platform that he helped to develop. What do we mean by online platform?
Well, things like YouTube or Wikipedia, things that are on the internet, and so they're using those things to communicate with other people.
Okay, sometimes we think of a stage as being sort of like a big platform where something can happen. It's sort of like everything is set up for some action to take place in the middle of it. And that's kind of what happens online. There's these different ways to where people have already set up these programs, and you can come in and say, oh, this is a way where I can present this information or communicate with someone in this way. And so this is an example of an online platform.
Right. There are different kinds. For instance, Facebook is one form. It's a platform. It's a way of delivering things. Twitter is another platform. And, you know, so there is different – it's just a different form of delivering the information.
Right. But they don't necessarily have to be a social media thing. You know, a platform could be for any kind of
– could be lectures held in public.
Yeah.
That's another platform.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Good. So they were offering this free class. And what was the class in exactly? Machine learning? What is that?
Well, it's an emerging discipline. And when we say something is emerging, it is coming out, is being revealed, it's new, and it's a new discipline. And what is that new discipline, Bill?
Well, a new discipline is a new way of dealing with the information, new way of studying the information that is at hand.
Right. I was just talking with a friend yesterday, and I was saying, he was telling me about his studies at university, and I said, oh, wow, that's you're an interdisciplinary learner. It means, you know, you're studying all these different disciplines and learning from each of them.
Yeah, yeah. So when we talk about discipline here, we're not talking about correcting the behavior of naughty students.
No.
We're just talking about actually certain segments of knowledge that you might be studying. Well, this machine learning is really interesting because it is part of computer science that deals with the analysis of very large data sets. So they were taking massive groups of information and trying to make sense of them.
Right. A data set is any kind of information that's sort of begun to be organized, but maybe not analyzed, right?
Yeah.
So you have all these facts or figures or statistics or whatever, but you haven't really done anything with them yet. It reminds me of another friend who was working on some testing of plants that were growing, and she says, well, I have all this information, but I have no idea what any of it means yet. It's going to take me months to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. So you end up with information overload, so you do need this machine learning to make sense of all of that stuff.
Exactly. So going on to the next column, we see that Porios was drawing on what he learned. He took from what he learned in that class and was able to do what?
He was able to participate in the International Space Apps Challenge, which we see in the next line is a virtual hackathon using data from NASA and other government organizations.
Okay, so what's a virtual hackathon?
Virtual meaning here online, and hackathon, we're using the word from hack to hack is a verb. It means to break into online, like onto your computer. And if it's a thon, then it's over a period of time, usually quite a long period of time.
Okay, so we think about like a marathon or a bike-a-thon, these kind of things that everyone is involved in doing together. A hackathon, though, has to do with taking sort of computer programming and making it work to get certain kinds of information.
Yeah, and so they're going to try and get information. I believe this hackathon that they had is they were sponsored by NASA and other agencies. They're trying to test their own software and learn how do we prevent hackers from getting in. So they invite people to challenge their systems and so that they can learn, all right, what are our weak spots? That's why they have these hackathons.
And interestingly, he actually also decided to play with, on his own, some data sets he downloaded from the World Bank website. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, he decided to play with, which means he's going to conduct some experiments, some research. He's going to take all this information, see what he can do with it. So when we play with something, we're trying to learn. It's not real, you know, we're not no end in sight. We're just trying to learn from the situation.
Right. And so he, although he wasn't spending all of his time glued to the news about the Eurozone crisis, clearly it did matter to him. And he decided, well, let me understand more about money through what I've learned in this course. Well, let's find out more about the way that he learned about machine learning in our next reading.
Changing the world? If one teenager in one small city in Greece can become a genius hacker through an online course, does it mean the world has changed? We have been hearing about the disruptive potential of online education for at least a decade now. Yet over the past 6 months, online ed has taken a giant leap forward. A number of new high-profile ventures feature professors from elite universities offering free courses online. All of these courses have video and social networking components. All have attracted millions of dollars in funding. And perhaps most significantly, all have drawn initial enrollments of at least six figures.
So, if one teenager in one small city in Greece can become a genius hacker through an online course, what question does that bring us to?
Does it mean the world has changed? Possibly. I mean, to have that potential, one person, one teenager, to become a genius hacker, that's a lot of potential right there.
Right. So, from what he learned, just him and his computer in that little city, he was able to compete with other hackers for really impressive displays of understanding information.
Well, I think it shows the spread of this information and the spread of the opportunity because, you know, we've had articles talking about cybercrime and things like that. For instance, a lot of it originating in Eastern Europe. There are people all around the world who have access to information online, to learning how to become hackers or, get into these systems. So has the world changed? Well, certainly it has changed. Yeah.
Yes, I agree. I think it definitely has. And what's interesting is we've been talking about the potential that online education has to do that for a long time. And that's what the next sentence says.
That's right. It says that we have been hearing about the disruptive potential of online education. I think it's interesting that we use the word disruptive, you know, tending to bring damage to an orderly control of a situation, meaning it may be quite violent, the change that's about to happen.
Yeah, and it's a bit of a negative word. If someone is being disruptive to a situation, it means they're kind of being a pain. They're being annoying. They're making noise or they're being, you know, just
drawing unwanted attention.
Good, yeah. So here, it makes it sound a bit negative, but I don't think that's really what they mean.
The reason we say disruptive here, and it sounds a little bit negative, is that we're looking at changing hundreds of years of the traditional education process, which has involved universities. And so that's why it means disruptive. It means changing the way we've known things for hundreds of years. Now, not necessarily a negative, but a lot of upheaval.
Mm. Right. And I think it can be negative for some of those institutions. Mm-hmm. If they don't find a way to work with this new system, mm-hmm. then they could find it very disruptive to their well-being.
Mm-hmm. Some of them could fail.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. And just close.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So there is a lot of potential for this to change educational institutions in mm-hmm. a negative way. Basically, yeah. If I can sign up for an online course that I can do from my own living room, why would I pay more money to go to your school? Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is an issue. Yet, we see there, as we continue in line 17.
Over the past 6 months, online education has taken a giant leap forward. So even though this has been potentially there for the last decade, meaning the last 10 years, in these six months, there's been huge advancement in online education.
Okay, so something that was sort of taking baby steps forward for a long time suddenly jumped ahead. And why? What happened?
Well, we see here first a number of new high-profile ventures feature professors from elite universities offering free courses online.
Hmm.
So that's one aspect of it. One of the things that happened is when online education kind of became hot, you had everybody jumping into it, and you had a lot of unknown firms,
right.
Unknown schools, and there was some credibility issues in there. But now what this sentence is saying is, whoa, now there are people, legitimate, high-profile, qualified people from the top-notch schools, the elite schools.
Right. And not only are they involved, but they're involved in these high-profile ventures that are coming out. So these new corporations, new organizations that have gotten a lot of publicity and a lot of attention, and they're saying, look, we have this wonderful professor from Harvard, and we have another one from MIT, and won't you come learn with us for free? And you're thinking, of course I would. What a deal, right?
Right. And like you said, a lot of corporations, you know, are partnering with these universities. So there's a lot of advertising going on. And of course, online is very visible.
Okay. Especially because something else that's happening more and more we see in that next sentence, line 20.
All of these courses have video and social networking components. And I'll go back to what I mentioned before about me teaching online maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago. Two things. One, did not have the video components simply because there was transmission problems. The transmission, we did not have broadband fully into effect at that time. We could not do the video quick enough.
Right.
And that was causing stalling. And then we did not have social networking components at that time either. So there's two things that are additional.
Right. And it's funny because even in traditional classrooms, we're seeing more of these kinds of things being incorporated. And so in an online situation, of course, they would need to be a part of the whole program. All of these courses have also what?
Attracted millions of dollars in funding. So a lot of people are seeing it and wanting to be a part of it.
Okay, exactly. They want to help support it. They say, oh, I want to put my name on here. And what's part of the reason why people might want to help fund this?
Okay, well, Naomi, this is drawing venture capitalists, which we will talk about tomorrow, people investing their money in this. And these people don't get involved in things unless they see opportunity. And we learn in the last sentence that there is opportunity because all of these ventures, they have drawn some great interest, and we see initial enrollments of at least 6 figures. That's why the money's going there.
Okay. What do we mean by 6 figures?
Well, there's thousands, you know, hundreds of thousands of students are wanting to get involved.
Right. So you have to think of the figures as like the numerals in the number. And you say, okay, so there's at least 6 of those. That means hundreds of thousands. That's amazing.
That is amazing. And in fact, we're going to learn a little bit about our professor here, Andrew Ng, and the number of students he has. I was amazed when I read it.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Now, in our article, we still haven't been formally introduced to Coursera, but we will tomorrow. So come on back for that.